And welcome in. This is the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Tough one for the Blackhawks. They did battle back, but not enough to take down the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. They lose 3-2 in the season opener. We'll head right back down to Florida. Charlie's got a flight to catch, so we'll get his quick thoughts. And Charlie, you and John were talking about it. Not the best first period. They hung around, but it was good to see a team made up of a lot of young guys just keep on fighting and trying to stay in this game till the end.
Yeah, it looked like the young players had some pregame jitters in the first period, especially watching the banner-raising ceremony, and the crowd was so energetic from puck drop because of the second straight Stanley Cup that they had won. The Stanley Cup was in the building. I mean, it was just an awesome night for them. And then for Chicago, new coach, a bunch of young players on this roster, notably on the back end, felt like they needed a whole period to get settled down. And so I thought from the second period on, that was more like the team that we hope to see from Chicago this season. They just needed that first period to kind of get those jitters out.
Yeah, and you said that earlier, 20 shots on goal for Florida to 17 from the second period on, so played it a little more even. And at the end, I mean that's just what Florida does, right? They get the lead, and then they just shut you down after there, so it's kind of hard for them to get any chances, especially at the end of the game. They had trouble even getting Spencer Knight off the ice.
Right, yeah. I know Florida was without Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk because of injuries, and those are their two primary engines, their first and second best player outside of Sergei Bobrovsky, if you want to throw him into that conversation. But they are still such a deep team, and they play the same way from the first line to the fourth line. They just come at you in waves, and I think it was a lot to handle for Chicago in that first period. And then when they take a 3-2 lead in the third period, they shut it down better than any team in the entire NHL. And we saw it in the Stanley Cup final last year when the Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, they were just trying to crack their forecheck, and they just could not do it. And so I still think the third period was encouraging. Even though that 6-on-5 opportunity, when they finally did get in the offensive zone, they created some scoring chances, unfortunately weren't able to break through. But I think there are some positives to take away from this game, that if you eliminate the first period, I think Jeff Blasio will appreciate the way that his team played in the second and thirds combined.
Yeah, much more competitive for the team there. Spencer Knight, pretty strong outing for him. And he had a really good start to his Blackhawks career and then had some rough patches, a little up and down, but it was nice to see him against his former team. I know he probably didn't want to give up those three goals, but he faced a lot of shots tonight.
Sensational. He was easily the best player that the Blackhawks had in this game. Sharp early on, especially in that first period when he faced 17 shots, and then even in the second and third periods, there were just some different moments where you look at the shot total and it's 37, but it felt like 45 as far as the quality of chances. And so I thought Spencer did a fantastic job keeping the Blackhawks in it and making the timely saves needed. And this is massive to get goaltending like that from Spencer Knight, because There are going to be many games this year where the young players in front of him, most notably the defensemen, are going to make some defensive mistakes, and they're going to need to work through that. And when you get good goaltending like we did from Spencer Knight tonight, it alleviates some of the pressure from those young players to make the mistakes. Because if you know that you got Spencer Knight back there and he's on his A game, if those turnovers lead to goals because you don't trust the goaltender, then it makes it even more difficult to swallow. And so I think Spencer Knight is going to be such a key part of the Blackhawks this season to make sure that he is playing as up to his A game as he can, so that way it frees up some of the younger players in front of him to not make mistakes, but if they do make mistakes, you know that you have, you know, a guy like Spencer Knight back there to bail you out.
Definitely, yeah. Strong season debut for him, and that probably felt pretty good. We're probably hoping he came out with a win, but at least a good start for him to in his first full season in Chicago. Frank Naza, I mean, it just feels like we keep talking about him. He was one of the best forwards for the Blackhawks tonight, and just really keeping up that good stretch that we saw early in the to the tail end last year, and in the summer, and then in the preseason. He looks like a guy that you're gonna build around with Connor Bedard.
Gosh, he's been fun to watch in the preseason, the first game today, even towards the end of last year, where he finished the final month with 9 points in 8 games, and just watching with Team USA as well with 12 points in 10 games. It's like, man, it feels the body of work for Frank Nazar is starting to grow enough where you feel like Nazar is more of the player that we saw towards the end of last season than he was at the beginning, where he was getting those chances, but he wasn't finishing them, and he struggled to get on the score sheet. With Frank Nazar, I mean, a goal, an assist in this game, also logged north of 20 minutes of ice time. He's going to be dependable in the faceoff circle, taking some important offensive zone draws, and it's going to be fun to watch his growth this season. And honestly, like, I'm curious to see what his point total is actually going to be at the end of the season, because it's going to be funny, Jack, to either laugh at our prediction that we had 60 hit him in the 60 range, or, you know, is if we were right on whether he's going to, if that, because it feels like being in the 62 point range for Nazar is going to be a pretty significant step forward from last year. But my goodness, if he continues to play that the way he did in the preseason and in this first game against one of the best forechecking and defensive teams in the NHL, I think that's going to get fans pretty excited.
Yeah, I think I might have been in the 50s, so I'm going to look worse than you, so don't worry about that.
No, that's okay. Good thing we didn't record it, or it's not on. We can't find it, right?
Yeah, I think it's gone.
Yeah,
I think
hopefully.
It got erased. All right, real quick, what are you looking for in Boston in a couple days?
Well, I was just thinking, I was doing both prep for this game and also looking ahead to Boston, but the last time we were in Boston, I believe the Hawks scored like 4 or 5 goals in the third period to win the game. So the last time they were in that building, they had some success. And also, 2 years prior, Connor Bedard scored his first career NHL goal in that building at TD Garden. So hopefully the Hawks pick up where they left off in the second and third periods in this game and perform well in Boston on Thursday.
Yeah, good point. I got about Bedard 2 years ago. Second game was in Boston. So that'll be fun to watch to see what he does for an encore, and Frank Nazar too. So we'll talk to you in 2 days, Charlie. Get on that plane and safe travels to Boston. We'll talk to you then, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jack. You did a great job filling in for me. I know you got a longer post-game show today, but appreciate you chipping in for me.
Yeah, no problem. You did good as well. We're always moving around here. We can do different things.
Hey, you wear as many hats as anyone at the station, so kudos to you for juggling it all. You did fantastic today.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Talk Thursday.
All right. See you, Jack.
That's Charlie Romeliotis. Him and John Weideman did a great job with the call, and it's nice to have hockey back. Even though the Hawks came up short in this one, there's plenty to build on, and hopefully a sign of things to come for some of these young players moving forward, especially with Frank Nazar. He looked really good tonight in the game. Like Charlie said, logged 2014 of ice time. He was out there a bunch. Connor Bedard was out there for 22 minutes. And since we're looking at ice times, why don't we look into tonight's ice times? Are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. They were not the highest ice time for the Hawks. That belonged to Sam Renzel, and that's continued his trend since he's come to the Blackhawks, of him leading the team in ice time. 25-18 for Sam Renzel, clearing Connor Bedard by over 3 minutes. So he looks like that bona fide defenseman, number one defenseman, and he's out there a bunch on the ice for the Blackhawks. And that's something Charlie has talked about in the preseason, in our Blackhawks Live and other media that he does, is that Renzel looks like that guy that's going to be a top pairing defenseman, and he's playing that ice time already too. He's only played in, I think this might have been his 10th or 11th NHL game in his career, and he's already leading the team in ice time, and they're letting him figure it out as he goes along. And He looks like he could be really good. And so I think Charlie's bold prediction was that he wins the Calder Trophy. So he needs to get some points. And he's had some chances, too, to score goals in his first 10 or so games in the NHL. And he just has gotten a little unlucky there. So hopefully the floodgates can open up for him and the Blackhawks. But Sam Renzel leading the team in ice time with 25:18. Connor Bedard second with 22 minutes. And you look at Frank Nazar, 20:14. That's the future of the Blackhawks there. Right there, playing a bunch of minutes there for the Hawks. Artem Lechnikov, a little bit of an up-and-down game for him. He had two penalties in the first period, but after that, settled in a little better. Was a plus one out there, but you can kind of see the ups and downs from him in just one game. You know that he's got all this talent, and he's still a little bit raw and working through it, but he's working through it at the NHL level. And you can see the flashes, and I think that's going to be the story for a lot of these players this year as we go through the season. Just the ups and downs with this NHL roster. I think there was put out there on Twitter by a couple people before the game today that the Hawks are the third youngest team in the NHL this year. I think their average age is like 27 or something like that. So a lot of young guys out there on the ice developing and learning. And I'm going to be interested to hear our head coach Jeff Blashill's thoughts after his first game as the head coach of the Blackhawks and his first game getting to see these young guys in regular season action on a national stage, too, against the defending Stanley Cup champion, two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers. We got a lot to get to here on this post-game show. Panthers beat the Blackhawks 3-2 in the season opener. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
Held in by the Panthers, Carter Verhaeghe. He sticks it behind the net. And Knight will clear it around the boards to center ice. Poked through by Bertuzzi to Nazar and a breakaway down the slot. Shoots, he scores! And the Blackhawks take a 1-0 lead on the Panthers. A heads-up play by Tyler Bertuzzi to get to a bouncing puck and poke it past the Panther defense. There was Nazar in full flight to pick it up into the Panther zone, and he beats Bobrovsky on the glove side. It's 1-0 in favor of the Hawks.
Welcome back to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the new generation of light beer. Blackhawks fall to the Panthers in the season opener 3-2. A really good game for Frank Nazar. He got the first goal of the NHL season for the Blackhawks and the entire NHL. So this was the only game being played at the moment. Rangers and the Penguins just got started as the second game of the triple header for the NHL's season opening day on ESPN. But Nazar looked good. He continued it over from his preseason. He had four goals in the preseason, a hat trick against the Minnesota Wild, and then he had another goal against the Wild last Friday. So he looked really good against the Wild, so it was good to see him rolling that right into the season, scoring the first goal in the first period. And he earned that contract extension over the offseason, locking him up here for the Hawks for the next several years and locking up a key piece in the rebuild. And he looks like he deserves every penny of that. And a lot of people, when he signed that contract extension, thought that this would be a contract that could look really good down the road with the NHL salary cap expanding and going up and the deal he was able to sign. So him and Knight are signed and they're still waiting on Bedard, but it doesn't seem like there's any rush between the two sides and something will get done. But we have Frank Nazar. He talked after the game. Let's hear what he had to say after this 3-2 loss to the Panthers.
Some good times, but just figuring out how to play that full 60.
Was it kind of getting the season opening jitters out after the first season that you guys got settled in the next two? What'd you say? What was the speech after the first period, and how were you guys able to get settled in those next two periods?
Honestly, it's more just buying into our game and our systems. And I mean, everyone played preseason games, so everybody knows what a game feels like, but more of just buying into, doing it for each other and focusing on what we gotta do as, on a personal level to help the guy next to us. Really,
to get a couple rush opportunities like that, do you see, I guess, just how your line can be dangerous with those type of chances this season?
Yeah, of course. So I think my game throughout the years has always been really well off the rush, really good. And I think that, there's ways to add on to that, and there's things that we can start doing a lot more of. But I think the end zone stuff was great, too, in the third, towards the end. Just being able to set up more and be able to work in those zone more.
with the new systems Jeff has put in? I mean, he's talked about it's going to take some time to master them. How do you feel like the execution was on that tonight?
I think it was, like I was saying before, it's bits and pieces. You know, there's parts of the game when we're doing a really good job at it, and then there's other parts where we slip up, and then they go down, and Nider has to make a great save. You know, we can't always count on Nider there and put him in a position like that. You know, we got to help him out too, and, you know, that's the game of hockey is... Mistakes happen, but it's how you recover from those mistakes and, you know, be there for your teammates and help reduce them.
Foligno was saying yesterday that he hoped that you guys maybe soak up, you know, them raising the banner and just kind of seeing, you know, that experience. Were you able to take that in, or I guess was it unique being here for this type of night?
Honestly, I was just focusing more on our game and on ourselves, but wasn't really focusing too much on them. Just, you know, we're coming here as Chicago, you know, not really focusing too much on them raising the banner.
What do you think of Spencer tonight?
I thought he was great. I mean, obviously he was our backbone tonight. Had almost, 40 saves. And a lot of high-end saves. And wouldn't have been that close without him. So made me want to work harder and go harder for him and try to do my best.
That was Frank Nazar after tonight's game. He had a ton of breakaway chances last year and had trouble converting on them, and he got a few at the end of the year when he finished the year on a good note, and good to see him cash in on that chance in the first game this year. So Frank Nazar, a goal and an assist, 2 points for him in that first game, and me and Charlie talking about our predictions for Frank Nazar's point total. It was our first or second Blackhawks Live this year. I think I was in the 50s and he was like 62 or something. So if he keeps this up, he's going to make me and Charlie look pretty dumb. But that would be a great sign for the Blackhawks rebuild. And he's generating a lot of hype, too, around just the fan base and people around the game think that he could really, really take this next big step this year. And that would be really nice for the Blackhawks rebuild, starting to see these first round picks coming into the NHL and starting to find their footing and turning into players that they thought they'd be when they were first round draft picks. So this is the next big step. And for me watching this team, it's going to be interesting because you have these young guys like Artem Levchinov's out there, Frank Nazar, Connor Bedard. You're starting to see Sam Renzel. You're starting to see some of these young guys that were drafted in the NHL. So it's going to be interesting to watch their growing pains and their paths through these this season, the ups and downs. And yesterday, Jeff Blashill, or a few days ago, was talking about there's going to be peaks and valleys, and he's going to try to eliminate the valleys. But with young players, it's kind of inevitable to see them as they're getting their first taste of NHL action. But you're just hoping to see those flashes of their potential, hopefully being stars in the league, and hopefully you've seen more and more of that. We also got Spencer Knight tape, if that's good. And then he came back to Florida for the first time. And Charlie said it, Frank said it. He was one of the best players on the ice for the Hawks. Let's hear what the Blackhawks goaltender had to say.
How do you feel tonight?
Good. Good game. Good hard battle. You know, it's a great team, so it used to be tough, but it was a good battle.
You feel like you guys settled in a little bit after that first period?
Yeah, I mean, it's not about settling in. It's about playing 60 minutes. I think that's what we got to do. You know, you got to come ready to play when the puck drops.
What was it like for you being back here?
It's cool. It's interesting playing on the other side, being here, but it's fun.
What was your nerves like, or how'd you feel during the day leading up to it?
It was good. It's just, you just play your game, be yourself, and that's all you can do.
You got lots of shots early. Felt good.
Yeah, I try to be able to play in any situation.
The video tribute, it looked like either didn't hear it or conspicuously avoiding it.
I wasn't avoiding anything. I was playing a game, and I made sure I saluted the crowd, but you know, I'm there to play hockey.
And now you worked in your glove and your stance this summer. It seemed like you were challenging and pretty successful with that tonight. How do you feel like it?
It's not really anything I'm really thinking about anymore. Just play hockey and try to be a good teammate and, you know, try to help when I can.
Is there a little bit of a obviously not the result you guys wanted, but going toe-to-toe with the chances, a little bit of a confidence booster like that at all?
I wouldn't say we got to play every game. It doesn't matter who we're playing. I think that's we got to focus on us. We can't focus on who we're playing and just show up when, you know, we're playing a cup champs. Like, we got to play. Every team's good in this league, so.
And that was Spencer Knight after he played his former team since he came over in the trade at the trade deadline in the Seth Jones trade. He was really good. I know it says he allowed three goals, but 34 saves on 37 chances, and he gave up a lot. Or he didn't give up a lot. He had a lot of shots on him in that first period. Really steadied the ship for the Blackhawks and kept them in that game, quite frankly. The Hawks got that first goal, but then quickly A.J. Greer scored after that. And then Artem Lipshoff went in the penalty box again, and they were able to get a power play goal from Carter Verhaeghe. So he kept them in that game and then shut them down in that second period and was able to keep the Hawks at that 2-2 score. And then they just got one through on him in the third period, and the Hawks had trouble getting the puck out of their own zone, and they were just so many shots that Spencer Knight played, so he played a pretty good game. And I thought Charlie made a good point too when we were talking to him after the game, that there's a lot of young defensemen right in front of him, so there's going to be some growing pains, and if he can be solid in between the pipes like he was today and how he's been for most of his Blackhawks career, that would be a really good sign for the Blackhawks moving forward if they can get their goaltender of the future with him, and maybe even Arvid Soderblom too, who had a really good year last year, a bounce back year too, where it seemed like they signed Laurent Brossoit to be the backup, and then Brossoit's battled injury in his time with the Blackhawks, and then Soderblom was able to take over that second goaltender tandem, and we'll see when he makes his debut, but hopefully those two can be the future for the Blackhawks. Spencer Knight, 34 saves on 37 shots, but the Blackhawks do fall 3-2 in the opener down in Florida. I think that this game might be a little telling of what this season might be like. You're going to see some flashes, you're going to see some tough times, but it was good to see them fight back in that second period, our second period on, making it a tie game too, pretty much halfway through that third period before they gave up that last goal, and then just couldn't get one past Sergei Bobrovsky. He's one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. We got more to get to. We're waiting to hear from Jeff Blashill. Maybe we'll hear some Kyle Davidson from pregame as well. Blackhawks fall to the Panthers 3-2. You're listening to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. We got more to get to. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
Little pass up the right wing. Lafferty center ice, deflecting the puck into the right wing corner. Florida zone. Forsling there to get it. Head to Evan Rodriguez over the center ice circle. Dumps the puck off the left corner boards. Hawks zone. Look out! They score! Mackie Samuskevich played the puck out of the left wing corner and tossed it with a backhanded flip in front of the net. The puck hit Jesper Boqvist in the body and maybe the shaft of his stick and ends up in behind Spencer Knight. The Panthers lead it 3-2.
That was the game-winning goal scored there by Jesper Boqvist to get the Panthers the win. That was the final score, 3-2. Got that goal in the third period, about halfway through that third period. And the Hawks had some chances. Connor Bedard he had that shot in the first period that hit the crossbar, and then he was a little quiet after that. And then in that second period, you could really start to see that he was noticeable out there on the ice. He was creating chances for himself and his teammates. It's just he couldn't get anything past Bobrovsky, one of the better goaltenders in the NHL. I mean, they've won the Stanley Cup the last 2 years, in part because of him and the way that the Panthers play with the lead. I mean, they just locked you down and shut you down, and it's hard to come by. But it looked like they were making a really big effort to shut down Connor Bedard and try to get him to not beat them, because they know if they can keep him quiet, they have a good chance of winning, like Charlie said. But they've done. But Frank Nazar is starting to make that a little more difficult on that second line. If he can keep that up, that'd be good for the Blackhawks to give more things for other teams to worry about. This is the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. We're going to turn to now the pipeline for the Blackhawks. It's time for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. We're going to go to Vaclav Nesterstil, the second of three first-round picks this past draft by Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks. He scored his first collegiate goal over the weekend for UMass in their win over the weekend. And Nesterstil is another guy that the Hawks drafted, a big forward. I mean, everybody in this draft for the Hawks had a lot of size. That's something Kyle Davidson, even after the draft, was like, oh, I don't know if that's something we targeted, but it's something that they needed, even if it wasn't intentional or not. They have a lot of forwards that are on the shorter end with Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar, more speed guys with Oliver Moore, and so they got some size up for their forward groups, so they're able to address that in the pipeline. But Nestor Schill, a good start for him in UMass, and Charlie talked about it on a few of the preseason shows, the condensed post games and intermissions, that Anton Frondell is off to a really good start with Nygaarden in the Swedish league, the top Swedish league. He's had multi-point games. He had the lacrosse-style goal. So he's off to a good start, and that's good to see him against the top competition in Sweden and figuring out when he may come over here at the end of the year, maybe, or he's still got some more time over there in Sweden. So he'll be fun to watch, and I was looking at the Rockford Ice Hogs schedule, too, and I was talking with Charlie yesterday on Blackhawks Live. I think this will be a fun team to follow. They were fun last year when Frank Nazar was down there and Kevin Korchinski was down there. Korchinski will be down there again. They open their season on Saturday against the Milwaukee Admirals in Rockford. So at the for them opening their season, there's going to be a lot of guys to follow close in the pipeline. They're also hosting the All-Star game this year, so it'll be a lot of fun following Rockford down there. Oliver Moore's down there. That's like a guy a lot of people thought could have made the team. He had a strong training camp, but they decided to give him more time down in Rockford, and something that seems like a good call just to make sure he's ready and he can force their hand when he plays well, like Frank Nazar did last year. So they have, and then Nick Lardis too is another guy that is going to be really interesting to watch. He was on fire in the OHL last year, set all these scoring records, and was able to do a lot with the puck and was a difference maker, a former third-round pick. Caught the attention of a lot of fans and people around the Blackhawks, so this is somebody that they're going to be watching really close as he comes now even closer to the AHL, trying to make his mark in Rockford, so their season starts on Saturday at home. So we'll be keeping a close eye on them as we follow along with these prospect updates. It'll be a lot of young guys in the NHL and a lot of interesting prospects now getting close here in North America. 3-2, the Blackhawks fall to the Panthers in the season opener. They are going to Boston, a quick two-game trip to open the season. They've opened the season with a lot of primetime games, and that continued this year with the very first game and the banner raising for the Florida Panthers. And they were able to fight back in this one and get it to a tie game, and you're kind of hoping that maybe they could scratch out a point, because that would have been pretty big for this team in their first game to take the defending Stanley Cup champions to overtime and get a point, but they just weren't able to do that. And Florida really shut them down there at the end, made it difficult for them, and they couldn't even get Spencer Knight off the ice until about a minute or so left. So tough one for the Hawks. We got more to get to. I think maybe we'll get some Kyle Davidson sound after this, or see if Jeff Blashill's come to the podium yet. But Blackhawks fall to the Panthers 3-2 in the season opener. You listen to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Blackhawks fall to the Panthers 3-2 in the season opener. Some good, some bad from the Blackhawks. They were able to, not a great first period, but were able to fight back and get the game tied, and had a chance to go into the third period where they were able to have a chance to win that game or maybe get it to overtime, but just couldn't get it done for the Hawks in the first game. But second period on, a strong performance from the Blackhawks. All right, so before the game, GM Kyle Davidson spoke with the media talking about a number of different things. Is kind of like his first beginning of the year kind of state of the team, talking with the media and getting to ask a bunch of questions. Here's what Kyle Davidson had to say before the game today.
So how ready are you to just get this going and see what you guys have? Obviously quite the formidable opponent to start off, but you know, just to see what's going on here with you all.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to finally play some games. Not that the preseason doesn't matter, but you know, these ones are for points, and so it's exciting just to get going and have the new coaching staff, you know, up and running and kind of implementing some new systems. And thought we had a great camp, and so just excited for everyone, you know, coaches, management, players, to get going for real.
It's interesting. You know, I think I saw that you're the third youngest team in the league. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the forward group, there's still a lot of, you know, 30-something veterans on there. What is it about that mix that you like, and do you expect that to kind of change as the season goes on? Are guys on the Nazar path, in other words?
Yeah, you know, we do have a couple players in Rockford that are very close. And so, you know, conceivably we could, you know, our average age could drop a little bit, but that remains to be seen. You know, we've got our team that we're running with right now, and we are a young group, but you have to have a little bit of a mix there. You know, it's a long season. It's a lot of new for some of these young players, which can be helped by those veteran guys in the room. And so I think it's a good mix right now. I think we've got a good dynamic, and you know, I thought the group came together quite well in training camp. And so, yeah, I think we're just happy with what we've got and the group that we're starting with here. And, you know, but it's just day one, and then we'll adapt as we go through the season. Things obviously changed a ton last season, and, you know, we'll kind of see how it changes throughout the season.
When camp started, I think with Mike Rizik, the talk was, you know, it's about his play, but mostly about how the Yale's young left-handed defense when we're going to play. Did you not see enough, or how did you sort of evaluate whether to sign him and then, you know, signing all those guys to Rockford?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. Sometimes you want players to jump up and take jobs and leave no doubt. And, you know, I think in our minds there's probably some opportunity there to grow a little more for some in Rockford and give them some time. And so Matt offered a great veteran presence to round out the group and you know, give some guys some more time and maybe opportunity to grow their games and get a different experience than they would up here. And so you know, I think overall it's a great opportunity for Matt, and then great opportunity for some of these young guys to learn from a guy like that with such great experience.
What's your view on how things stand with Reichel right now? You said it was kind of a prove-it camp for him. Mm-hmm. He seemed like a healthy scratch probably tonight, and he's been in some trade rumors. What's your view on his outlook here moving forward?
Yeah, well, you know, Lucas is someone that we know very well. We like Lucas. It's just, you know, sometimes there's 12 other guys that are just fitting a little more seamlessly at the moment. But again, that's just for night one. And so he's working hard. I know the coaches are working with him to make sure he's ready to go when the opportunity arises. And we expect he'll take that when a spot opens up. So, no, I think he's you know, a useful part of our team. He's here for a reason. And, you know, he's going to get an opportunity here coming up, and it's just up to those players that are not in the lineup to make the most of the opportunity when it does come around.
Where do you feel Kevin Korchinski's development is, and where do you like to see maybe if that's the next step this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, Rockford's a great opportunity for a player like Kevin to play a ton. He's going to play a lot down there, which, you know, wouldn't have been the situation here. He's going to be able to play every situation, left side, right side, power play, meaningful minutes at the, you know, end of periods, end of games. And so I think that's invaluable to a 21-year-old defenseman that's still raw and coming into his own in pro hockey. But, you know, we want to see him grow with his confidence with the puck. We drafted him because of some of those skating and skill and puck elements, and, you know, also grow his defensive game along the way. But just want him to get back to playing confident hockey with the puck, making sure that he's impacting it with the puck on his stick. And then we think that that's most effectively and you know, well done in a setup like Rockford, where we can control how much ice time he gets and the different situations he's in.
It's got to be tough for him. I mean, he came up, he played a full season basically because mm-hmm. of the circumstances of his age and everything, and he's seeing guys, you know, leapfrog him on the depth chart here. Guys that were behind him are now ahead of him. How do you keep his, you know, mentality upbeat and when he's seeing Sam Renzel and Artie Levshinov and some of these guys kind of take those jobs?
Yeah, it's a conversation with a lot of young players.
He's still really young.
He's still very young, very, very young. And, you know, he was one of those players that, you know, at 19 years old, probably could have benefited from, you know, potential rule changes we're seeing in the future with, you know, CHL players being able to go to the AHL, but that wasn't the case. But with young prospects, I think it's important to make sure they focus on their own development, just because everyone is so different and their needs and the situations are all so different that once you start comparing yourself to someone else, it's a slippery slope. It's an easy thing to do, but it's also a slippery slope. And so you just have to focus on what's best for you in that moment and making sure that you're doing everything you can in your situation and your skill set to improve, to make sure that you're on the right track to being a full-time NHLer. And we feel he is. We feel that he's in the best position to do that right now. And but that's not the same case for everyone. Just like when he was 19 and we kept him, you know, some players go back to junior, and that doesn't mean they're any further behind or ahead of anyone that maybe does get NHL time right away. So, you know, it's sometimes I understand the dynamic and how difficult it could be, but for the most part, I think he's total pro. He's you know, very mature. I think he understands the path, and that's through effective communication and making sure that the player does understand that. And so, you know, I think our staff has done an effective job of making sure that players understand the why behind our decisions. And doesn't mean they always have to agree with it right away. A few, you know, do in most circumstances, but I think we're in a spot with a lot of our, or all of our players, where they understand, they're bought in, and you know, they're on the best path to becoming NHLers.
Sorry to keep hammering the Korchinski topic, but he chose to only gain a few pounds this summer, feeling like he didn't want to get too slowed down. Mm-hmm. But strength has been something I feel like it's talked about a lot, is that he keeps needing to get stronger. It's come up for 3 years now. Where do you feel like he stands in terms of that? And do you want him to eventually gain more weight? Like, mm-hmm. do you feel like he's gotten to the point he needs to on that category?
Yeah, I think sometimes strength and weight are different conversations.
Yeah.
But I think he's on a really good path. I don't think there was anything wrong or you know, inefficient about what he did this offseason. It's just, you know, for a lot of these players and young players, it's about reps and just, you know, gaining that strength on the ice in season against men. And you know, there is some work to be done, obviously, in the summers. But I wouldn't say his physical makeup is behind the curve at this point. I think the weight's there, and it's just about gaining the experience and the physicality in games, and he's going to get a ton of that exposure this year.
So that was Kyle Davidson, part of his conversation before the game with reporters. A lot to talk about with the young guys. Lucas Reichel, too, someone I was wanting to get to in the pregame, but we didn't have time. He was a healthy scratch today. He seems like he's the 13th forward right now, and it's been an interesting few years for Lucas Reichel. He's been up and down. He's been in Rockford. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's been at the top of the lineup. He's been at the bottom of the lineup. And it still just seems like they're trying to figure out where the best place is for him. Jeff Blashill did talk, I think it was yesterday, at practice, saying he talked to Lucas Reichel about being a bottom six player and how that role would work for him and getting into that role of being in there and what he would need to do. And he played a lot on the fourth line last year, too, and that's something that he's looking like he might be doing again. He might be a little in and out of the lineup unless the Hawks make a trade. And it sounded like Kyle Davidson was not looking at that right now, but I guess you never know what can happen or as this regular season goes on, if there's injuries that pop up or a need. But right now he's going to be out of the lineup, and we'll see when he gets his first chance to get in the game action and what he's able to do with it. And you know, he's got a lot of talent. That's something that made him a first round pick, one of their top prospects. He's had some really good moments in the NHL, so you've seen him do it. It's just about being consistent, and that's something that they're trying to work on. And Jeff Blasso's got a lot of experience with young players, and hopefully he can use that to help Lucas Reichel along in his development. Also, Matt Grizzlick, he was signed over the weekend. He was on a PTO, signed to a one-year contract, and bringing some veteran leadership to the blue line for the Blackhawks with all these young guys and with Alex Vlasic out for tonight. We don't know what his status will be for Thursday, but it'll be interesting to see how they use Grizzlick, a veteran who had 40 points last year for Pittsburgh, a really solid year, and just did not get a lot of free agency buzz for some reason. And he's here with the Hawks, and I saw in some stories or interviews that he was saying he's willing to help these young guys translate to the NHL, which would be a really nice bonus there for the Blackhawks to have just another voice. And a player talking to a player can be beneficial as well. So leading some of these young guys along, like Artem Levchinov and Sam Renzel. So He'll be a solid veteran presence going forward on the Blackhawks blue line. And then a lot of that soundbite was about Kevin Korchinski. And it is interesting that he played that basically his whole rookie year, or he did play his whole rookie year in the NHL because of the age restriction thing in the AHL. And he had already played well in the OHL, so there's really no point in sending him back there. And now these last 2 years, or last year he was up and down, and this year he's starting in Rockford. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that. Kyle Davidson said he's being a total pro, and he still is very, very young. So a lot of room to develop for him, and maybe it didn't happen as quickly as some fans and others thought that it would, but he's hopefully can be on the right track. And the thing with Rockford is he's going to play a lot and experience a lot and play in a in all the different situations down there, and being able to play consistently and not being in and out of the lineup is the big thing for Kevin Korchinski down there. So he's got a couple of other young guys down there with him as well, and hopefully those guys can develop with him, like a Nolan Allen, who played a lot last year in the NHL for the Blackhawks. So those two guys are a couple of defensemen to watch down there for the Hawks. All right, we got some Jeff Blashill sound. We'll hear what he has to say next. You're listening to the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. And we'll preview the next game before we get to head coach Jeff Blashill. Tonight's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Blackhawks at the Boston Bruins on Thursday. Bruins open the season tomorrow night in Washington, and they'll travel home to have the home opener Thursday against the Blackhawks. So their first game is tomorrow night in Washington. All right, Jeff Blashill, first game as Blackhawks head coach. Let's hear his thoughts after a 3-2 loss to the Panthers.
What did you take away from that tonight?
Well, you know, I think obviously Spencer was really good, so that was a real positive. I think I'm glad we're in the situation 2-2. You know, in the third period, I'd like to be in that situation lots, but now we got to find a way to win those games. You know, there's certainly a lot of growth that we have to have. You know, I think coming into this, I recognize, and I think I've talked about it with you guys, we're going to have peaks and valleys, and we got to do a way better job of those valleys not being so low in terms of the types of mistakes that we make where, you know, to me, you're kind of giving away chances. And so we just got to continue to grow and work on finding ways to make sure we're not giving away easy chances. They're going to create enough on their own. We got to make sure we do a better job of that.
How would you rate the execution on the new systems in game one?
I didn't think it was a whole lot of system. Like, I don't think we're going to walk out of the game and have like a big system meeting tomorrow. I think the game will be more on like pure execution, probably more on the careless plays, certainly with the puck, being harder on the puck. I'll give them tons of credit. You know, they're missing two great players. It's a banner raising night. Sometimes you can kind of sleepwalk through those games, and I thought they came out and played really hard. So it's a great lesson for us of how hard you have to compete on pucks, what type of stick battles you're going to have. I think it's going to be more of that than the actual execution and systems.
You talked about prior to the game, and the guys talked about it after the game, playing a complete 60 minutes. It seems that was the big takeaway for you guys.
Yeah, I thought at times we played good. You know, at times we were in their zone, and, you know, second period was good. So, yes, you know, there's going to be pushback. There's going to be ebbs and flows to a hockey game. For me, it's more of just the individual mistakes can't be so big. When you turn pucks over, you're going to have, you know, it's going to look chaotic. So that can hurt your system play, but everybody's just in scramble mode at that point. I just think finding ways to minimize and not give up nearly as many chances in throughout a course of a game, and we gotta step by step get better at that.
You had a lot of guys who played NHL, the young guys who played NHL games, but maybe not season openers. Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, when you look at Renzel and Levshinov in that first period, that maybe some of that was jitters?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and you know, we've got guys that you come up at the end of the year, you're playing the last 9-10 games. This is a different animal, and it's only going to continue to ramp up. You know, and so I think understanding what the level's like, how good you got to be every night. And it is such an every night league. It is such an unforgiving league that you have to be on top of your game every night. You're not going to be perfect. I get that, but you can't let the low be so low. You know, and I think certainly there's some guys that need to take that lesson, and kind of that's their takeaway.
moving Mikheyev up with Bedard in the third period? What was the thought process there?
We did a little bit late in the second. I thought Ilya was skating. The thing that he can do is kind of go win pucks, and I think that's an important piece of that line. I think Donald can score on his own. He's kind of a guy who I think can self-generate a little bit. So we just thought maybe it would give us just a little more, I don't know if spark's the right word, but like finding ways to win pucks and have the puck a little bit more in that line.
What'd you make of how your team responded to after the first period?
Yeah, I thought we did a good job. I really did. I mean, I thought obviously that was nowhere near our best. And I thought we did a good job of kind of individually responding and playing better and collectively doing that. And I thought the second was certainly our best period. Third was once that goal, the goal's a little bit of an unlucky break. And then from there we gave up chances the last 10 that we don't need to give up. You can't win the game or tie the game by giving up another goal necessarily. I know you got to press to score, but you can't give up easy chances. So again, just lessons for us.
Do you put a lot of stock in face-off numbers, or how much influence do you think that is on the game?
I think it's a huge thing, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say it's everything, but it's hard to chase it, all night. I just think it's something that is going to be continually important. When you win them and winning them on special teams, all those things are really important.
That was head coach Jeff Blashill after his first game as the head man of the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, kind of what we all saw, played better after the second period on, trying to lead those guys, and thought maybe a little jitters in that first period, but were able to figure it out as the Hawks lose 3-2 to the Panthers.